there was a comment.
Yesterday, we had mentioned that Ruth and Naomi, and it was applied to us obeying our parents, honoring our parents. A question was handed to me, and it is, what should we do if our believing parents are acting or behaving in a non-biblical or ungodly manner?
Well, I think we have some help in the very verse that we know so very well in Ephesians chapter 6, right? Because I think that this verse here, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Obviously, and as Brother Chuck has said, and we've said this week, parents aren't perfect. They make mistakes. I don't believe that parents and being a parent, that we go into a situation trying to make an error, trying to give bad advice. But if you have parents who are believers, who may not be walking in consistency with the Word of God, this verse here, number one, it puts the onus on the child. Okay? There's enough in the Word of God that puts the responsibility on the parent to do what God expects the parent to do. And God is going to deal with parents who walk inconsistently with the Word of God. But if a parent is telling you to do something that is illegal, something that is immoral, something that you know is absolutely against the natural laws of the land and things that God would have us to do, I think it falls outside of this phrase here that's in the Lord. And then the Lord would give you the wisdom and the understanding, the ability to sit, maybe to talk with your parents, or to get some help in that particular matter. But I believe across the board, the onus in Ephesians chapter 1 is that we obey our parents in the Lord. We ought to follow what they say. And then the Lord deals with parents, because in this same book of Ephesians, there are instructions that are given to parents as to how we ought to conduct ourselves. Fathers, not provoke your children to wrath and so on. Okay?
I don't think that we want to spend an awful long time on this, because I don't think it applies to most of us in the room.
Right.
I will say this one thing in reference to it. You as a child are never told to disobey.
Right.
Just remember that. Mm-hmm. We are never told to disobey. We are told to obey. So I like to keep it on the positive line of you having an open, honest relationship with your mother and father, and to remember the place that you're in. You didn't choose to be in that place. You were born into that place, and God calls for you to be obedient. Now,
two things. One, first of all, is the verse that Brother Tony was talking about. It's a principle that we've actually kind of covered a little bit here in Ruth, and that is you can't pick and choose the scripture that you choose to obey. So now that you've heard that scripture, you really don't have a choice in obeying what that scripture said and the principles that Tony talked about. So that pretty much covers that question. But then back to what we were talking about here in Ruth, there's an important application that we can make from verse 18 here, where she says, "Sit still, my daughter." As young people, a lesson that I didn't learn until more recently is that God will give you answers in His time, but we want answers in our time. And sitting still is a hard concept for us as young people to understand, because we don't ever want to sit still. Like, we want to stand up, take hymn breaks, we want to go do things, we want to be on the move. It's just a fact of being young. You have energy, and you want to use it. So it's important in our Christian lives to understand that sitting still is just as important as moving.
Amen.
Because if you don't have peace for something, if the Lord hasn't given you peace on a subject, then you really probably shouldn't move forward with it. Because He will give you peace in His timing. Not our timing. It's His timing.
Amen. There was another one, and then I want to round that last question off with just a statement. Okay, I want to say, if there is someone here who has circumstances that are different, Tony or Emil or myself or a number of others, we would like to talk with you privately. That would be better than taking up an issue in a public meeting. We would tell you, come and seek us out after the meeting, and let's have a time when we could talk.
You know, one of the things that I was meditating upon this week is a thought about the heart of Boaz. You know, we've been spending a lot of time talking about Naomi and Ruth, and that has been the real object of our study this week. But I was thinking about the position of Boaz. Boaz was a man of great wealth and substance. But yet, you know, Boaz was alone. You know, we read this in the book of Genesis, where God looked down upon Adam, and he had created everything that was needed in the earth. There was a suitable helpmeet for every animal that had been made. And yet Adam was alone. And God looked down and said, it is not good for the man to be alone. And I'd like us, as we go through this last day, to consider that Boaz is doing things for his own pleasure as well. That he has a heart that longs to be satisfied, longs to find a complement in a godly woman. And so as we go through, I believe, the end of chapter 3, because it says Naomi's admonition to Ruth was not only for her to sit still, but he says, for the man will not be in rest until he hath finished this thing this day. At the beginning of this chapter, Ruth was told by Naomi, shall I not find rest for thee? And Naomi knows the one in whom rest will come. And this Boaz is full of energy now. Here is a woman of virtue. The whole city knows that Ruth is a beautiful, godly young sister. And Boaz now is going to take things up in an appropriate way by which he can now bring this woman to be his wife so that he can rest himself, that there'll be rest for them. No more wandering, no more gathering up early all day, all night, but that as a godly man and a godly sister, that there might be rest. And I just wanted to point that out, that not only is God doing something for Ruth, but there is a movement on behalf of Boaz that there might be a unit. And I want us to see that God wants us, as we get to that age of marriage, etc., to know that it's not just to marry someone that's good-looking or handsome or pretty and have children and go through the world, but know that there might be couples, married couples, that God could use in local assemblies.
Ruth chose to follow the Lord, and that's what we need to do too, is follow the Lord. Ruth could have gone to another field, but then there could be problems on the road. There's two verses in Psalms that I was reading during breakfast time. Psalm 118, verses 8 and 9. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to put trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princesses. I have the verse hanging in my shed, and it just occurred to me that that is like Ruth. We need to put our trust in the Lord, not to put trust in man or in princesses, because that could lead to further problems down the road. Christ is coming soon, and if you're not saved, then you're not going to that place the Lord has prepared for you. You are a lost sheep. You are lost. And you need to get on the right path that leads to life.